The scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, and it's part of the narratives in the fourth chapter where Jesus is standing on the lakeshore in a boat and speaking to people who have gathered along the shore to hear him. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of seeds on the earth. And yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. This week, I was walking our dog, Bridie, on a dirt trail near our house, and I was astounded to see how high the various grasses have grown, and not just on the sides of the path, but even sprouting up in the cracked, parched soil that benefited a couple of weeks ago from a couple of weeks of wetness. The earth produces of itself first in the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Our seasonal cycle is off to a roaring start with all the moisture we've had. And I know that soon we'll be seeing our vegetables sprouting and blooming in the garden. And they all start with seed and are nourished by healthy soil, sun, and water. You may know that lovely poem by Wendell Berry called Sabbaths. Here are a few lines of that poem that describe the intersection of human work in sowing and tilling and harvest and the work of God. "And yet no leaf or grain is filled by work of ours. The field is tilled and left to grace, that we may reap. Great work is done when we're asleep. When we work well, a Sabbath mood rests on our day and finds it good." There is so much that we humans affect in plant growth. That's the nature of agriculture, going right back to the ancient Near East millennia ago. And yet there are things that are well beyond our control, things that we should marvel at and see as everyday miracles, like the fertility of the earth, the diversity of plant and animal life, the abundance of air and water and land. And there are enormous implications for the way we act as stewards of creation. And that's a sermon for another day. There's also a miraculous sense in which you and I are vessels into which the kingdom of God, God's liberating reign, is sown and nourished. If you were to think of yourself as a container of potting soil and the Spirit placing one tiny seed within you, isn't it amazing to see how that seed can either flourish or become dormant or even die? What happens to seeds that don't have adequate soil drainage or don't get enough water or get too much or too little sun or get nipped by the frost. There are all kinds of ways that the seed of the Spirit within you needs tending, some that you may not even be aware of. Like all good gardening, nurturing the seed of the Spirit within you takes some intention. Nurture is the place where transformation and spiritual growth happen. How do you weed and water the seed of the Spirit within you? We need to love and to be loved, to serve and to be served as part of our growing. We need times of quiet contemplation and times of action that stretch us spiritually. Times of prayer and spiritual practice can help us distinguish what is genuinely important in life from the things that are simply urgent. And it's not always pleasant experiences that cause us to grow. Surviving and thriving in hard times can sometimes help spiritual seeds to grow stronger too. Part of our purpose as the folks who comprise the church is to keep reorienting us so that we face God and grow spiritually. Have you ever thought of yourself as a vessel that contains germinating seeds of holiness and wholeness? Paul uses a related analogy in 2 Corinthians when he writes, "We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." Each of us is an imperfect vessel that grows and spreads God's love for creation. And when I say creation, I'm including humanity. All of this nurture wouldn't do much of anything if there hadn't been a seed of spirituality sown within each of us by God. As Wendell Berry said, "No leaf or grain is filled by work of ours. The field is tilled and left to grace." Spiritual growth is a cooperative venture between God and us. So what if the seed that's been planted within you is a fast-growing, take-over-the-garden kind of plant? You know, years ago, a neighbor gave us some mint, which we planted in a planter, thinking that we could contain it. And in the years since, it has jumped to a patch under some shrubs. It's jumped into the gaps in our patio, and it's turned into a very nice, minty, smelly border around our lawn. A friend once told me that it's impossible to steal mint. You're doing someone a favor by ripping up some of theirs and taking it home. That's kind of what the mustard plant Jesus describes is like. It isn't a nice little domesticated plant that might be used to produce French's or Gouldens or even Grey Poupon. It's more of a noxious weed that takes over the garden. Here is what one ancient author, Pliny the Elder, wrote in the first century. "With its pungent taste and fiery effect, it is extremely beneficial for the health. It grows entirely wild, though it is improved by being transplanted. But on the other hand, when it has once been sown, it is scarcely possible to get the place free of it, as the seed, when it falls, germinates at once." Pliny, incidentally, took this whole National Geographic thing a little bit too far and was killed by getting too close while investigating the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. So the kingdom of God is like a noxious weed that is really potent and has a fiery effect, and that will probably take over your garden if it gets too close. And if that is the seed that God has planted within us as Christians, we should be a force to be reckoned with. Dom Crossan often talks about what he calls the normalcy of civilization, by which he means things that humans have done ever since we started cultivating crops and raising livestock instead of hunting and gathering. He contends that one of the marks of the normalcy of civilization is empire. Taking for your own group or nation what another has. It is survival of the fittest culture in a dog-eat-dog world. And certainly one can see that in the Roman or the Babylonian Empire as examples of one culture controlling the land and the people of another and cashing in on it. You can see how the British did that in India, or how the Japanese did it in the Pacific during the 1930s, or how Europeans did it in North and South America. You know, the Greek word used in the New Testament for empire is basileia, and for George Theodore's benefit, in modern Greek, it's pronounced vasileia, like it starts with a V, but it really starts with a B. And we translate that word as kingdom, as in the kingdom of God. That's critically important, because when the author of Mark writes basileia, he uses the same word to describe the Roman Empire. The basileia. It is the way of ruling or reigning, and not necessarily a geographic location. And the contrast is dramatic between the basileia tou theou, the reign of God, on one hand, and the reign of Caesar on the other. The reign of Caesar was about dominating conquered peoples, resettling their land, creating a system of military control that allowed everything to work pretty well. It was a system aimed at eventual peace gained through violence, war, and oppression. The realm of God, though, reverses that by seeking love, compassion, abundance, connection, justice, and commonwealth as a pathway to peace, or shalom. The two systems couldn't be more different. The writer of Luke's gospel puts it very succinctly. The kingdom of God is within you all. The kingdom of God is within you all. Think about that for a moment. The seeds of God's liberating reign are in all of us. They're in you and in me. Sometimes I wonder whether we Christians actually have two sets of seeds planted within us. The seed of the reign of God and the seed of the normalcy of civilization or empire. Do you ever wonder what's growing in you? Is it a sense of abundance or scarcity? Is it faith or fear? Is it compassion or apathy? Is it generosity or greed? Is it love or self-centeredness? Is it courage or is it anxious worry? If we do all have the seeds of the realm of God and the normalcy of civilization planted within us, which seed are you nurturing? if the pandemic has led us to water the seed of fear, apathy, and anxiousness, that seed is what will take hold and grow within us. If we water and tend the seed of the reign of God, we will see the fruits of faith, love, and courage in our lives and in the world. That tiny mustard seed within each of us needs love and attention to flourish and to grow. That's why we are here together as church. And as that seed grows in you, it will reach out beyond you and have effects that reach far and wide. And so I ask you to remember this always. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen.